Our Heavenly Father, we come before you. We ask that you be gracious to each and every one of us. Open our ear that we can hear. And I pray that you circumcise our ear, that we can hear the wonderful thing that is written in the gospel. And also open our eyes that we can see, and our mind, our heart, that we can receive your word. And hide that within our heart so that we won't sin against you. And as we approach you, and I pray that you get near to us too and speak to each and every one of us. And fill us with your Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that we have a better understanding of your will and walk in it, so that we be truly blessed all the days of our life. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So what's the title of this sermon? Do you remember? What is a servant of Christ is like, right? So I think these are the criteria. I pray that one of these days when I pass away, and very likely that you're going to interview the new candidate of a servant of Christ to preach in this pulpit, and these are the credentials that you have to look at it to see whether he is truly a servant of Christ. Don't let any person who claim to be a servant of Christ and indeed is not servant of Christ to teach you or to preach to you. And, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. So then, men ought to regard us as servants of Christ. What's the servant of Christ is like? I want you to write that down right beside the servant of Christ. You write down Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Verse 10, Paul said that, am I trying to win the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. The first characteristic of a servant of Christ is like, he tried to please God. He did not try to please man. He tried to win the approval of God, not the approval of man. So could you tell me what's the difference? If you try to win the approval of man, if you try to win the approval of man, you will change the gospel. You will tell people what they like to hear. But if you want to gain the approval from God, you will keep on preaching the gospel. Nothing but the gospel. That's the first characteristic. Is he a people pleaser or is he a God pleaser? Is there approval? Did he try to win approval of man or approval of God? But Paul clearly stated that. If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. There's only one master. The master is Jesus Christ. If you call yourself a servant of Christ, you better win approval of Christ. Point number two. If he's truly a servant of Christ, he will be entrusted with the secret things of God in verse 1. So then men ought to regard us as those entrusted with the secret things of God. If you call yourself a servant of Christ, for sure you know that Jesus Christ has given you something to do. And that is the secret things of God. Right beside the secret things of God, I want you to write down chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the ruler of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. If you call yourself a servant of Christ, you know for sure that our Lord Jesus Christ entrusts you with the secret things of God. So you ask anyone who come for interview, what are the secret things that God gave it to you, entrusted to you, and asked you to share to the congregation? You ask this question. Verse number 2. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. First of all, you have to know that God entrusts you with the secret things of God. Thirdly, you have to be faithful to what has been entrusted to you. Are you going to change it, or are you going to keep on preaching what God has entrusted to you? Right beside faithful, I want you to write that down, two things. If you call yourself faithful, you have to act on it. You have to put it into practice. You have to do it yourself. And then you teach others. And then you preach to others. That's what I mean by faithful. I say that one more time. The secret things of God that God entrusted to you, first of all, before you preach to others, you teach others, you do it yourself. That is equivalent to, you write that down right beside faithful, equivalent to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. Any servant of God, he has to watch his own life. That means make sure whatever God entrusted to him, he has to do it himself. And then watch the doctrine closely. Make sure you don't change anything. Whatever God tells you to do, you do it yourself, and then you teach others to do it. I want you to write that down. Right beside 4:16, watch your life and watch your doctrine closely. You write down the benefit. The benefit of that is Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. You're going to obey everything Jesus Christ teach you, and then you teach others. Then Jesus Christ promised you, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. Even though people reject you, even though people do not approve of your work, they may kick you out, but at the end of your life, Jesus will receive you. Teaching them to obey everything I commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of age. Go back to 4:16, 1 Timothy. If you watch your life, do exactly what Jesus Christ tells you to do, and then you watch your doctrine, teach other people to do the same. If you keep on doing it, you don't do it once, you don't do it twice, all the days of your life, you keep doing it. If you fail, you just get up and do it again. Forget what is behind. Then you will save yourself, and you will save those who hear you. If you don't watch your life, and you just watch your doctrine, teach other people, you write that down. You write Matthew chapter 10. One of the Pharaoh is doing like that. The one who betrayed Jesus Christ is a Judah.
He watched his doctrine. He teach the right thing. But he himself did not do it. And he go to hell. He did not save his own life. I say that one more time. 1 Timothy 4:16. Watch your life. Make sure you do it yourself first. And watch your doctrine closely. Persevere in them. Because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. I care very little if I am judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. Wherever Paul goes, Paul has been judged by all the audience. I want you to write that down right beside chapter 4, verse 3. What Paul has gone through, you write down 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 8. But I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost. In other words, when Paul write the 1 Corinthians, he's serving the Lord at the church of Ephesus. That means he gone through a lot of pain and suffering already. The fourth characteristic of a servant of Christ, he cares very little if he's judged by the audience or by any human courts. And people persecute him and take him to the court and saying that he causing uproars and stuff like that. He was mistreated, but he cared very little about that. I want you to write that down. Nowadays, the politician, they care very much about how you view him. Okay? A true servant of Christ care very little if he's judged by any human being or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges. Circle the word. He cared very little if he was judged by human being or by human court. He cared very much about how Jesus Christ judged him. He cared very little how human beings judge him. Listen to me carefully. If you win approval of men, they will give you some praise, but that doesn't last. He will give you some crown, honor you and all this, but doesn't last. Okay? But if Jesus Christ give you a crown of righteousness, it will last to eternity. Brother and sister, if you call yourself a servant of Christ, you have to ask yourself, do you care very little or you care very much if you were judged by human court or by human being? Okay? That is very much related to Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. Are you trying to win approval of man or of God? Are you trying to please man or please God? Right? Okay. Paul cared very much about how Jesus Christ judged him. That's why he said, it is the Lord who judges me. Not only it is the Lord who judges me, it is the Lord who judges each and every one of us. I want you to write that down. It is the Lord who judges me. You write down Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 47 to 50. Chapter 12, verse 47. Gospel of John. As for the person who hear my words, said Jesus, but does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I do not come to judge the world, but to save it. There is a judge for the one who reject me and does not accept my word. That very word which I spoke will condemn him at the last day, as the last day means as his second coming. In his first coming, Jesus said, I did not come to judge you, nor to judge the world. That is in his first coming. But in his second coming, it is the Lord who judge. How did he judge you? He judged you with his word. Whatever he say to you, he gonna see whether you do it or you don't do it. Verse 48 again. There is a judge for the one who reject me and does not accept my word. That very word which I spoke will condemn him at the last day, at the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. For I did not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say. I know that his command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. Paul followed the example of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ did not say what he liked to say. He said what the Father commanded him to say. Paul said the same thing. I don't say what I like to say. I say exactly what Jesus Christ wants me to say. That's why I persevere and did not change the gospel. He want me to preach the gospel, the true gospel. He preached the true gospel. He didn't add anything to it, nor did he delete anything to it. Go back. Verse 5, therefore judge nothing, because it is the Lord who judge at his second coming, not now. Therefore judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. Wait till the Lord comes. That is the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of man's heart. Expose the motives of a man's heart means you try to please man, but you try to please God. At that time, God knows. At that time, you know. At that time, each will receive his praise from God. I write beside receive his praise from God. You also write down reward from God too. Verse 14, chapter 3. If what he has built survive after the fire, he will receive his reward. At the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ will judge us based upon his word. When you did exactly what he told you to do, you will receive praise from God and you will receive reward from God. And you will reign with Jesus Christ. Verse 6. Now, brother, I have applied these things right beside these things. It's chapter 4, verse 1 to verse 5. I have applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, for your own good, so that you may learn from us the meaning of the saying, do not go beyond what is written. That means some of the Christians in the church of Corinth, when they make judgment about Paul, about Apollos, they make judgment go beyond what is written in the scripture. They don't follow what the Bible says. They just use their own thinking. They think they are wise. They just make the judgment. Okay? And then in verse 6, Paul said that, I apply this thing regarding judgment, making judgment to other people. What the scripture say is, now is not the time to judge. You have to wait till the Lord comes in the end time. And they make judgment, not based upon what is written. And secondly, you are not qualified to judge now. It is the Lord who judge. They go beyond what is written. Brother and sister, I encourage you. Let's say, like in Baptist church, when they hire a pastor or they fire a pastor, they have a congregation meeting. And then the chairman will ask, who want the pastor to stay? Could you raise your hand? And then they raise their hand. Brother and sister, you better be sure when you make that decision, when you make that judgment, you better be sure you know what you're talking about. You understand? So, I found out nowadays, most of the Christians, they don't read the Bible. Even though they read the Bible, they don't understand what is written. And then they make judgment. They hire a pastor. They don't even know who is he. He's supposed to be the servant of Christ. And you make decision by the appearance, by the smooth talk, by his flattering to you. And you are in deep trouble. Do you understand? When he tried not to win approval from you, not try to please you, you say he's not a good pastor. And you kick him out. And eventually, you're going to pay for it. All right? If you don't read the Bible, you don't understand the Bible, you don't make any judgment. You say, I am not qualified. Who is qualified? Let him make the judgment. And then once he makes the judgment, ask him, why are you making this judgment? Is this based on certain portion of the scripture? Prove it to us. We are infant. You are the leader. You tell me. Am I right? Hello? Do you understand me? It's not by majority vote. By God's will. All right. I say one more time, now is not the time to judge. You are not the person to judge either. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who judges. And how did he judge us? He judged us based upon what is written. All right? Verse 6. Now, brother, I have applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, so that you may learn from us the meaning of the saying, do not go beyond what is written. That means some of the people in Corinth, they go beyond what is written by judging God's servant. Then you will not take pride in one person over against another. Do they boast about man? In chapter 3, verse 21, so then, no more boasting about men. They are just as servants of Christ. On top of that, you will not take pride in one person over against another. You do not take pride about Paul over Apollos, nor do you take pride about Apollo over Paul. You don't do that. Because all these servants of God are yours. In chapter 3, verse 22. On top of that, you are of Christ, and Christ is of God. So they boast about things that they shouldn't have boasted. They say things that they shouldn't have said. The reason why we come to the church every Sunday is to make sure that our thinking is correct, our saying is correct, our action is correct in according to what is written in the Bible. Verse 7. See whether you can give me the answer. For who make you different from anyone else? What is the answer? Who make you different from anyone else? The answer is, in verse 4, it is the Lord who make you different from anyone else. If you want to boast about that, you are different from other people, you boast about Jesus Christ, because he's the one who make you different. Second question. And what do you have that you did not receive? The answer is none. Everything that I have, I receive from Jesus Christ. He is the one who give me grace and blessing. The position, the job that I have is given by Jesus Christ. The talent that he gave it to me is given by Jesus Christ. If you want to boast about your talent, boast about what you have, oh, I have a big house, I have a beautiful car. Listen to me. It is the Lord who given it to you. You better use it for his glory. You don't use it to glorify yourself. I say that one more time. I don't think the people in the Church of Corinth can answer the question. What do you have that you do not receive? The third question. And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? As if you are smarter than other people. As if you are so smart, right? We receive everything from the Lord. Verse 8. Already, you have all you want. Already, you have become rich. And you have become king. And that without us. And how I wish that you really have become king, so that we might be king with you. Wow, verse 8 is very, very good. Where did it come from? I would like you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 9. Come from the Old Testament. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23, all the way to 26. This is what the Lord said. This is not what the man say. This is what the Lord said. Let not the wise boast of his wisdom. Let not the strong man boast of his strength. Let not the rich man boast of his riches. That is exactly what the Church of Corinth boasting, because they go beyond what is written. According to Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. You shouldn't have boast about the thing, but you did boast. The thing that you should boast, you never boast. Verse 24. But let him who boasts, boast about this. That he understands and know me, that I am the Lord. Anyone who knows Jesus Christ is the Lord, that is what you should boast. You know that Jesus Christ is the Lord. you know that, you understand that Jesus Christ is the Lord, you want to boast, you boast about that. You write that down right beside 24. You write down 131. If you really want to boast, you boast in the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 35. Paul writing 1 Corinthians is not out of his own imagination. He writes the scripture. He writes the New Testament based upon the Old Testament teaching. He didn't tell you, just say, don't go beyond what is written, and then he himself go beyond what is written. He watched his life. He did it himself, man. And then he watched his teaching, his doctrine. Genuine doctrine come from Jeremiah chapter 9. These are the pastor. You should ask the Lord, give us this kind of pastor to come to our church to minister to us and tell us the secret things of God. Say that one more time. Let not the wise boast of his wisdom. Why? Even though if you are wise, it's God give you wisdom. Jesus Christ give you wisdom. If you really want to boast, boast about Jesus Christ who give me the wisdom. Oh, you say you are very healthy. You are a strong man. Let not the strong man boast of his strength. Who give you the strength? You write that down. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Chapter 4, verse 13. Paul said that I can do all things through him who gives me strength. It is Jesus Christ who gives him strength. Paul said that. In 1 Corinthians, I'm sorry, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 9, the latter part of verse 9. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, not my strength, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insult, in hardship, in persecution, in difficulty, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul boasts about his witness because when he humbled himself, God's power, Jesus Christ's power, may rest upon him and make him strong. You boast about your strength, and Jesus Christ walk away from you. And then you lose your power. Let not the rich man boast about his riches. You know, if the Lord take away your riches, then you become a poor man. Don't let him do that to you. But let him who boasts about this. These are the only thing you should boast. That he understand and know me, that Jesus Christ is the Lord. What Jesus Christ has done? He exercised kindness on earth. He exercised justice and righteousness on earth. For in this I delight. If you boast in this, God say, I delight in it. You boast in any other thing, I abhor. I hate that. Declare the Lord, quote and unquote. Verse 25. The days are coming, declare the Lord, when I will punish all who are I will punish all who are circumcised only in the flesh, said Jesus Christ. Who are they? Egypt, Judah, Edom, Ammon, Moab, and all who live in the desert in distant places. For all these nations, Jews and Gentile included, are really uncircumcised. And even the whole house of Israel. including the church of Corinth, uncircumcised in heart. When you boast about things that go beyond what is written, that means you are still uncircumcised in heart. You haven't denied yourself and carry your own cross and follow Jesus. You just say what you like to say, according to your own flesh. That Jesus is not pleased with that. Now I go back to 1 Corinthians. If they claim already we have all we want, they mean they are very rich. Paul, I don't need you. I got everything already. Already you have become rich. They boast about their riches. Already you have become king. They are so strong. And without us, how can a Christian become king? Without us, without the servants of Christ. Do you know that a genuine servant of Christ not only preach the gospel to you so that you have eternal life, a genuine Christian of Christ will preach the gospel to you. You can reign with Jesus Christ because he preached to you. You have to deny yourself and carry the cross and follow Jesus Christ. And Paul said that in 8:17 in the book of Romans, if you share in Christ's suffering by denying yourself and carry the cross, for sure you're going to share in his glory. If you carry the cross just like Jesus Christ carried the cross, Jesus Christ sit at the right hand of our Heavenly Father. If you become an overcomer, you sit by my right hand, said Jesus in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, which chapter 3, verse 21. How can you reign with Jesus without a good pastor like Paul, Apollos, Cephas, and Apostle John? You know what I mean? They say, I become king without you. I don't need you. I got it already. You haven't got it. And Paul said that, how I wish that you really have become king. You really have become king. That means you are not king yet. You boast about that you being a king, but you are not, okay? Paul said that, how I wish that you really have become king, so that we might be king with you. I want you to write that down, so that we might be king with you. I want you to write that down. I didn't preach to you beyond what is written. You write down Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brother, you whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown. That is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. Brother and sister, Paul ministered not only to the church of Corinth, ministered to the Philippi. If the Christian that listened to Paul teaching and obey Paul teaching, and Paul say that, I love you, I long for you, you are my joy, you are my crown. Because when you become king, because you obey my teaching and deny yourself and carry the cross, when you share in Christ's suffering, for sure you're going to share in Christ's glory and become king with Jesus Christ, reign with Jesus Christ. If the audience that who listened to Paul become king, for sure Paul will become king. Am I right? That's right. You cannot become king if you do things according to your own flesh. Romans chapter 8, verse 6, the mind controlled by the flesh is dead. You are not king. You are a dead man. If the mind controlled by the Holy Spirit is the mind controlled by the cross of Jesus Christ. You're willing to suffer to do God's will. You have life and you have peace, and you will reign with Jesus Christ. Don't do things, don't say things going beyond what is written. Judge for yourself to see whether it is the right thing to say, the right thing to boast. Go back. Chapter 4, First Corinthians, verse 9. For it seems to me that, what is the character? The first character is a servant of Christ, that who do not, he wins approval of God, not from man, try to please God and not try to please man. That's the first characteristic. Second characteristic is he's entrusted with the secret things of God. Thirdly, he has to prove himself faithful. He do it himself, and then he preach about what he did. The fourth one, don't judge. Now's not the time to judge. Besides, it's the Lord who judge. You're not qualified to judge. Wrong timing, wrong person. And then don't boast. Don't boast about things that you shouldn't boast. A servant of Christ won't boast about the wrong thing. He boasts about what the kind of thing that the Lord delights in. Okay? There's only one thing. Boast that you understand and know that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And he exercised kindness, justice, and righteousness. And that he delights in that if you boast about that. That means when you make judgment, the judgment has to be just, has to be fair, has to be righteous, as long as it's according to what's written. But if you don't read the Bible, you don't make judgment. You say, sure, I don't vote. You tell me. You tell me why you're voting this way. You tell me. Okay? You understand? Don't just say, oh, I don't vote. I let you vote. And I go for it. You tell me. Why are you saying what you're saying? Why are you doing what you're saying? Is this according to what is written? Is this your opinion or is the opinion of God? Right? So now, in verse 9, what are the characteristics of a servant of Christ? He has to be humble. He has to be the least. Okay? For it seems to me that God has put us, apostles, on this place at the end of the procession. Like man condemned to die in the arena. If you are condemned to die in the arena, you are in the last of the procession. Well, when you enter the Olympic game, you know, the one who carrying the flag is the one carrying... Who's the one who carrying the flag, dude? Do you know? It's the one who win the gold medal, right? Whatever the nation you represent. And they think that you are the glorious one. You go first. But Paul say that it seems to me that God do things differently. If you are the greatest in the church, you are the last. Okay? As if you are condemned to die in the arena. I read that one more time, chapter 4, verse 9. For it seems to me that God has put us, apostle, the leader, on this place, at the end of the procession, like men condemned to die in the arena. And then Paul said that one more time. We have been made a spectacle to the whole universe, to angel as well as to man. Can anyone tell me why God make this apostle to be a spectacle to the whole universe, especially to angel and to man? Why? Because God gonna judge the angel. Because Paul being humble himself, among all the apostles, Paul is the greatest. Because he followed Jesus Christ. And yet he's the last because he humbled himself. Then he will become good in the future. Prove to me that you are the servant of Christ. Are you in the top of the line or you are the least of the procession? Humility and the fear of the Lord will bring wealth, honor, life, and glory. And Paul got that according to what's written in the book of Proverbs. Turn to the book of Proverbs 22, verse 4. Humility and the fear of the Lord bring wealth and honor and life. Right beside Proverbs chapter 22, verse 4, you write down 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. 9 and 10. That is what is written. Verse 10, and Paul said that, we are fool for Christ, but you are so wise in Christ. I don't know whether you understand what Paul trying to say in verse 10. Paul said that we are fool, the apostles of Christ, the servants of Christ, though has been entrusted with the secret things of God, they are fool in Christ. They are fool for Christ. But you are so wise in Christ. Is it right or is it wrong? We are weak, but you are strong. The reason why Paul said that you are strong, because based upon what they are saying, because of their arrogance, verse 18. Some of you have become arrogant, thinking that you are so strong. I want you to write that down. But you are strong. And then you say, you are honor, but we are dishonored. I want you to write that down right beside here. Okay? They think they are strong, but indeed they are not strong. They think they are rich, but indeed they are poor and wretched. I want you to write that down. Revelation chapter 3. I read that to you. They follow the very footstep of the church of Laodicea. Chapter 3, verse 14, all the way to 22. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the word of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. Jesus Christ said, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, just like the church of Corinth. I have acquired wealth, and I do not need the things. I have all I wanted already. That's exactly what the church of Corinth say. And you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and shaft to put on your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuild and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and open the door, that's the door of your heart. I will come in and eat with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said to the churches, not only to the church of Laodicea, not only to the church of Corinth, to the church of Apostolic Bible Church. of Alberta. Keep going. When Paul said that we are fool for Christ, but you are so wise in Christ. That is what they think they are so wise in Christ. But in reality, they are foolish in Christ. But in reality, Paul, Apostle John, and Peter, they are wise in Christ. Because humility and the fear of the Lord bring wealth, honor, and life. They are willing to suffer. They are willing to be the least in their possession. They're not going to show off his power. Keep going. We are fools for Christ, but you are so wise in Christ. But indeed, actually, you are foolish. And we are weak, but you are strong. But indeed, you are weaker than we are. You don't even know. You are wretched. You are pitiful. You are blind. You are honored. They think they are very honored. I can fire this pastor. I can kick this out. You know what I mean? There's one chairman of the board. He used to be in our church. And he got a job in another place. So because of his faithfulness in serving in the church, a year later he became the chairman of the board in that new church. Then he fired the pastor. I tell him, don't do that. He didn't listen to me. He said, this pastor is no good. And then hire another pastor. Say that this pastor is good. 3 years ago, he told me, now this pastor is no good to you. And he wanted to get rid of that pastor too. He didn't listen to me. Now he himself unemployed. Don't be a fool, man. You judge people. The Lord going to judge you. Who are you? Who are you? And he didn't listen to you. And he suffered pain. 5 years, he has no job now. You boast about riches? When he took it away, you lost everything. Now humbly, he listened to our Bible study every Monday night. Start all over again. Why suffer pain like that? Why? People don't listen. People thinking that they are strong, you know? They're strong. I want to stop here. Okay? I haven't finished all the characteristics what a servant of Christ is like. But we hide that within our heart. This church thinking that they are better than the one who served them, better than Paul. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians. I'm only just studying 1 Corinthians chapter 4, but let me tell you, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, let's hear what Paul said. For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all. He worked harder than Peter. He worked harder than Apollos. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Paul said that I work harder than all of them. And if God allowed Jesus, if If Jesus Christ allowed Paul to write that down like this, that means Jesus approved of it. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. They boast about Apollos. I want you to take a look at chapter 16 regarding Apollos. Chapter 16, verse 12. Now about our brother Apollos. I strongly urge him to go on to you with the brothers. He was quite unwilling to go now, but he will go when he has the opportunity. As far as denying yourself, as far as carrying the cross, Paul carrying the cross, Apollo carrying the cross, which one is better? Hello? Paul is better. There's a division in the church because of Apollo. And Paul want him to go back and fix it. He say no. Because this is a very tough church. You think you want to hire a good pastor? The pastor, if he deny himself, did not want to carry the cross, he won't come to your church. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you open our eyes and help us to be a fool for Christ, not to think that we are wise in Christ. We are so weak, we are naked, we are blind, we don't even know. We are pitiful, we are wretched. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Hear my prayer and help us to be the genuine of the servant of Christ. I pray all this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.